This is The Coaching Inn, a podcast from 3D Coaching. So welcome to today's podcast. I'm Claire Pedrick and I work for 3D Coaching, and I've got the privilege this afternoon of being in conversation with Don Eisenhower. So Don started coaching at end of life in the States a long time ago, and I've learned a huge amount from Don over the years. And it's great to have you here. Don, tell us a bit more about you.
Thank you, Claire. It is great to be here. Yes, my name is Don Eisenhower, and I am a pastor, but I am currently full-time running Coaching at End of Life. It's a training organization for people to be able to learn how to use coaching principles in being with the dying and being with people who are grieving. I worked for 19 years as a hospice chaplain and bereavement coordinator. I have a doctorate in counseling, but my real love is coaching. I am a master certified coach, as Claire is, and just love coaching individuals as well as training others how to do so.
Fabulous. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because Don, even in the last week, everything's changed across the world with COVID-19. And one of the things that I notice about coaching being different is that it's future focused and it's optimistic. Yeah. So what can we learn from coaching that will help us have the conversations that we need to have?
Yeah, it's not only future directed and optimistic, but what I love about coaching is when we're coaching people, we're not trying to fix them. We're walking the journey with them, which is something that is so much needed in this changed world of the pandemic of COVID-19. What people need is the opportunity to be able to share openly what they're feeling, because we're not only having a pandemic of COVID-19, we're having a pandemic of grief. Mm. We're having a pandemic of stress and crisis. And people need to be able to deal with that. They need to be able to process it. They need to be able to talk about it. And there's no one better to listen than coaches. Yeah. Because coaches are trained to listen. Coaches know well enough not to tell them what to do, but rather to ask questions and to walk the journey with them, mm-hmm. as they express all that they're feeling and experiencing when they look at the numbers of their retirement account, which has changed, when they look at what it's like to be losing their job, when they realize that socially all the people they spend time with are not able to go and be with anymore. People need to talk about these things and get it out.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because that's the difference, I think, between change and transition. So the change has happened kind of overnight. And I guess the transition that we're all going through is coming to terms with, yeah, with the ship being turned right around.
Yeah. You're exactly right. It's been a sudden change, and so the emotions are. The image that I've been using is people. A lot of people are saying to me they feel like they're free falling.
Yeah.
And they're just not sure when they're going to land, and they don't know what to do about it, and feeling so out of control. Mm. And the reality is, they are. We all are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we need to face the reality of that, but at the same time to express what that does to us and how we're feeling in the midst of it.
So if I'm a coach already, what might I do differently to make sure that I pay really good attention to this fear and anxiety and to the dying word and the grieving word that we so often in society won't go to?
Yeah. So if we're coaching individuals who are dealing with all of these end of life issues or these stress and crisis issues, which are so normal right now, one of the first things we need to do is to invite them to talk about it. Mm. Okay. Unlike the rest of the world that says, "Oh, I don't want to go there because I don't want to upset you." We realize the way to help people best is by inviting them to share openly about it. And then as they share about it, to make it a really safe and brave place where they can continue to share, and where we're not going to add judgment, where we're not going to step in and try to fix them and tell them what to do, but to make it safe enough that they can share whatever they want, that they can do whatever we want, and to say, we're going to be here and walk this journey with you, no matter what it is that you're experiencing.
So holding, not knowing.
Yeah. Yeah. Holding, not knowing. Bearing witness to not knowing.
Yeah.
Okay. And to bear witness to it and to normalize it at the same time, to help acknowledge that what they're experiencing is normal and it's natural. And you know what I find? It's not only the coaches doing that for the other clients, but I've been finding that it's the coaches who need to be able to give themselves permission to express the fears and the concerns as well.
Mm.
You know, a lot of times we professionals who are so much there to help everyone else need to give ourselves that same permission that we give our clients.
So you're talking about space to process, aren't you?
Yeah, space to process, as well as just to have somebody who's going to be there to walk that journey with them.
Mm.
You know, we're with words that we hear so much here in the US, and I imagine in the UK as well, is social distancing.
Yes.
And we talk that's really not a good term, because the social connection is exactly what we need. We need physical distancing. I'm totally in agreement with the meaning of that. But socially, we need to be drawing closer than ever during this time. And we just need to do it in safe ways through the internet, through Zoom, through the telephone, through ways that we're not going to spread this virus. But we still need to be connecting in amazing ways, to be there for one another, with one another, to hold that space.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because for me, every conversation that I have as a coach is different from conversations I've had before. And that gives us a gift, doesn't it, of really going into the unknown?
Yeah.
And I wonder that whether that adds a quality to our conversations that, if we can hold it, is going to be really useful.
I think absolutely it's useful if we hold that space and then invite them to share. And part of what we do well as coaches is always invite our clients to go deeper, you know, to peel away the layers of the onion, and not just to deal with the surface, but to deal with, you know, in ICF terms, the who-ness of the person.
Yes.
Right. So even when it comes to grief, when it comes to stress and crisis, we need to do that as well, where we need to invite them to go deep and to really share what they're experiencing, not just what should be heard or what's on the surface, but to allow them to dig really deep and say, these are my fears right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is my anxiety. This is what I'm experiencing. Or I'm really hopeful at the same time. I'm not trying to promote all doom and gloom, but it's just enabling people to be really real, to be absolutely real about what it is that they're experiencing, and to let that out right now.
Enabling people to be really real. I like that.
You know, another area where this is hitting home, again, this is true in the United States. I'm not sure about the UK, but we're not able to conduct funerals right now.
Yeah.
And so the grief is just multiplied.
Mm.
And magnified within them. And that grief still needs to be expressed. And so if they don't have that nice social outlet to be able to express their grief in a funeral service or a memorial service, they still need to be able to express it. So now more than ever, we as coaches, you know, what I call end-of-life coaches, need to be able to be there and to say, what is this like? What are you experiencing? What are your feelings in the midst of this time of loss?
Yeah.
So different than the rest of our culture and world, which wants to run away from it and say, don't talk about it. Just move on and get over it as if nothing happened.
There's been an article on the BBC News website this week from doctors saying we need to talk about dying. And I have to say, Don, I've learned so much about talking about dying from you. And it's since we did a little tour of the UK, was it 3 years ago?
I think so.
I've needed what I learned from you in many different ways. And actually, as even as I speak to you, a whole lot of my learning from you is coming back to me. So one of the things I learned from you was let emotion out normally when there's a lot of grief around. So you taught me to watch my go-to tearful movies when I was experiencing a lot of emotion, because that's a normal way of letting out the tears. And I thank you for that, because three friends of mine died in a year. And that was a very significant part for me of holding, of holding the journey, I guess.
Yeah. Tears are not a sign of weakness. They're a sign of strength. Yeah. They're a sign that you're facing the emotions that you are experiencing. And so they can be let out in a lot of ways. They can be let out through tears. It can be one of the ways we let out our grief is by telling our story, just by talking about our relationship with our loved one. Okay, this is what it was like, and this is what this person meant to me. We let out our grief through rituals, okay, through going to the cemetery or by lighting a candle in someone's name. Okay, all of that is what we call mourning.
Yeah.
You know, grief is what we experience on the inside, but it's not enough just to grieve. It's also important to mourn, to let out what is going on with inside of us. And there are many ways to go about it, and there's not a right or wrong. It's whatever is best for us. But the key is that we let it out, because if we don't, it's going to find its own way to come out. And whenever it comes out on its own, it's never pretty. Okay. When it comes out on its own, it comes out through anger or through depression or through other physical illnesses, which I have no doubt are the result of grief that has never been mourned.
I want to thank you for a conversation that I had with my parents, Don, when you and I were on tour. And my mum said to me, what are you doing in this part of the country? And I said, oh, I'm traveling around the country with a friend, talking to people about having conversations about dying. And, you know, my mum said, I think about dying a lot. And I said, do you want to talk about it? And that opened up a whole series of conversations with my parents, which have been absolutely amazing, including the best gift that my father could have given us. So 6 months ago, my dad sent an email round the family saying, I've been thinking about funerals and I want to think about whether I want instant cremation and I don't want my body to be present at the funeral. And he then shared a lot of reasons why he thought that the crematorium funeral wasn't the goodbye it was meant to be. And in fact, I'll share it on the blog if people would like to read it, because it's a really interesting article where he got his thinking straight. But the end of the conversation meant that we came to terms when my parents are healthy, they're elderly and healthy. But we came to terms with the idea that my dad didn't want his body at the at his funeral. And I said to him yesterday, what a gift that is, because it feels as though in the next months and years, excuse me, I've got a cough. I hope it isn't COVID-19. in the next months and years, quite a lot of us are going to have to separate the body going, as it were, from the celebration of life, aren't we? Because that's going to have to be what it is.
Yeah, that's certainly the case right now.
Yeah.
It very much is. Things are changing so much. I've just recently been talking to some individuals whose loved one died. And the funeral director said to them, well, maybe we can have a service in a couple of months.
Yeah.
And what do they do about that? So we're having some online services, okay, to be able to connect people on Zoom. Or to be able to at least connect over the telephone. So there's at least an opportunity for them to express the grief and to talk about the loved one. But it's totally different than it was just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So we're having to totally reinvent the wheel.
Yes, it's new territory, isn't it?
It really is. Because even when I talked to my funeral director friend and said, what's ahead? He said, I don't know. This is totally new for our whole industry. Yeah. And even the experts in the industry don't know what we're doing or what's to come. It's kind of a day by day trying to give our best effort and to make decisions in the moment.
Oh, that's so interesting, because I wrote a little tweet earlier today about the fact that we've always thought that world leaders would sort out major crises. And now what we're learning is we have to take responsibility for ourselves. But what you've just described is also true around funerals, isn't it? That we need to take responsibility for our own processing.
Yeah, and it concerns me because I'm afraid that with our world that doesn't like to talk about grief and death and dying anyway, and tries to avoid funerals because it means that we're facing the reality of grief, this can become an excuse for many to not do anything and say, that's fine, I'll have my loved one cremated and we just move on with life, without taking that time to really mourn and to acknowledge the grief that is real. So yes, we do need to take responsibility. Just a little concerned how much people are going to be doing that.
Yeah.
That's why we need to get this podcast out to many people.
Indeed.
So they can hear it and say, yes, this is what I need to do.
So I have 101 questions, Dawn. And one is about what kind of rituals might we do? And I'm also interested, because I know that quite a lot of our listeners might be interested in, what do you think is the difference between talking about dying and grieving with a coach approach versus talking about dying and grieving with a kind of therapeutic or counseling view? So which would you like to answer?
Let me answer the second one first.
Okay.
Okay, what is it like? I have my doctorate in counseling. I have always done counseling on the side. And still do, and counseling is very important. I am in total agreement for therapy, and it's very much needed in a number of cases. But I found that I've loved coaching even more because I love the approach of simply walking the journey with people and treating them as the expert rather than being the expert. And the coaching model is the perfect model in my eyes for being with the dying and being with the grieving. Because with so many other disciplines, whether it's therapy or many other professionals, we've always been taught to be able to come in and fix the problem for the people. We've come in to make them feel better right away. They start crying. They're upset. What do we want to do? We want to help them feel better. Come on, stop crying. We hand them a tissue. We say, let's go do something else so you don't think about it, which is all the exact opposite of what is needed. Because what is needed is not for us to feel better, but to feel worse for a while. Okay? We need to face the reality of our grief, of our emotions, and to be able to let them out. And I don't mean that I want people to feel terrible for the rest of their lives, but that's where it starts. And if they can allow themselves to embrace the pain of their grief for the very beginning, that once they do that, that's really the step to start moving forward with life and learning how to live life again. You know, people will ask me sometimes, how can I speed up this grief process? I miss my loved one so much, and I just want to get through this. What can I do? And I'll say, well, there's something you can do, but you're not going to like it. And that is to allow yourself to hurt all the more, to become a friend to your grief and to allow yourself to experience it. They say, no, I want to get over it, not experience it more. Well, we never get over it. But it's as we allow ourselves to mourn these losses and let out the pain and the emotions that are there, that's what enables us to start moving forward and to learn how to live life and enjoy life in the midst of the pain that is still there. And so a lot of the other disciplines don't get that, and they want to fix right away. They want to try to make you feel better. And instead of addressing the issue, they try to skirt it and go around it. What I love about coaching is that we listen deeply and invite them to share even more deeply. That we don't try and fix. We don't tell them what to do. It's letting them figure out what they need to do and truly treating them as the experts in the midst of it.
Yeah. So if I'm talking to somebody who's about to be admitted to hospital, what might that look like that or sound like, that conversation, Dawn?
Okay. If they're going to be admitted to the hospital right now?
Yeah.
Right now, it's really a scary time. To go to the hospital with COVID-19 around. And so the fears are probably going to be heightened for the person who is going. And so if they're heading to the hospital, I would probably ask them, what are you feeling about going? Okay. And depending on what the reason is, what are the emotions that are present in the midst of this? What are your concerns? Okay. What are you wanting to accomplish when you're in there? How are you best going to spend your time? And just asking them questions and building on those questions to allow them to express what those emotions are and what they're feeling as they're entering into the hospital.
Because it's a different world, isn't it? Because we it's as you I, I'm struck as you're speaking that our fantasy has for so many years been that the hospital can fix us. And what we're noticing is that the hospital can't, I know this has always been true, but it's becoming more visible. The hospital can't fix everything.
And right now, going into the hospital, we're sometimes exposing ourselves to even more, exposing ourselves to the virus instead of staying sheltered in our home. So it's a catch-22 where we need to go for whatever issue or reason that we're heading to the hospital. And yet at the same time, there's some real apprehension about that because of the COVID-19 being so contagious and being all around us.
So listening deeply.
Listening deeply, asking questions that invite them to share, and then accepting the reality of whatever they share and not trying to tell them not to talk that way or to tell them to talk about something else, but being present in the midst of it. And I think probably another question I'd want to ask as they're going in is, what's the best way I can stay in touch with you? Here in the US, we're not allowed to visit anyone in the hospital. I don't know if that's the same in
That's
the
the same
UK.
here.
So are you taking a cell phone? Would it be helpful if I send you some text messages? Or what are some of the ways that I can still be a support even when I can't come and physically visit you at your bedside? Okay, and to see what they would like and to let them be the one in charge because they are the expert as to what they need. And so really listen to them.
Isn't that a great way of describing empowerment? Really giving the power, even down to those last decisions, to them.
To be able to die well means for them to die the way they want to die. Okay. And to live the way that they want to live. It's dying with dignity, meaning that it's in their own way. So often we have our own thoughts of what it should be like. And so we try to put that on to people. This is where you need to be, and this is what you need to be wearing, and this is the kind of music you need to have playing. And it's not about what I think about those things. It's for each person to make their own decisions about that.
And I know so much we want to say, don't we, to family and friends who have got to that point of being sick is you'll be okay. And that's not for us to say, is it?
Because we don't know.
No.
No, first of all, we don't know what that means to be okay for them. And no, we can't say what the future is going to hold. But we can say, I'll support you in the midst of it, and I'll walk this journey with you the best that I can, and I'll be present in the midst of it. And that's what people need more than anything. They don't need to be fixed. They don't need to be told what to do. They need someone, once again, to bear witness, to be able to walk the journey with them.
Yes, I'll keep in touch regularly in a way that works for you.
Absolutely. Because
Wow.
sometimes people don't want the visitors. Sometimes they want to be alone. A lot of people have a fear of that and say, no, they can't be alone. And yet many of them are saying, please just stay away. I need my time. Some of the problem is no, sometimes the problem is that no one visits. Sometimes the problem is that people never leave. And sometimes the best way we can help people is by leaving if that's what they want.
So what else do you think we need to hear at this time, Don?
Oh, so many things. I just think that this goes beyond just people going to the hospital. The reality is that we're all going to die, and we're all thinking about that a lot more these days. And we need to have safe places to be able to share it. And if we're a coach, then we need to go provide those safe places for other people. If we are just thinking about our own mortality, which I think everyone is at this time, if we're thinking about other losses that have occurred, and by the way, when we talk about loss, it's not just death losses, okay? It's all what we call the living losses or the non-death losses that are very real as well. Many are grieving the fact that they've just lost their job.
Yes.
They're grieving the fact that the stock market has changed so much and their portfolio is half of what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Many are grieving that they can't go and visit their loved one who's in the nursing home, and they're not accepting any visitors, and they're
Yeah.
not able to get in there.
And
Okay.
children have been pulled out of school,
Yeah.
and they're grieving the loss of the end of their schooling in that place because they haven't been able to do their endings.
Yeah, that's right. There hasn't been an ending. Many on spring break all of a sudden are not going back.
Yeah.
And we could go on and on with that. You know, many who are just because of the social distancing that they can't go and connect with their outlets where they usually find their help and their support. So all of these things need to be mourned. And if we're a coach, we go and provide that place. If we're not, we either find a coach, we find a safe person who we can talk with, or we apply these same principles to ourselves. In my book, Coach Yourself Through Grief, we talk about eight principles for coaching yourself. It's looking at some of the principles that your grief coach would share with you if you had one. And if not, then you ask yourself those same questions. Okay, where is a safe place for me? How can I express this? It's the principle of letting it out. Okay, even if I don't have somebody else asking me the questions, to find that place where I can just go and cry or scream and express what I'm doing. To be able to tell our story if we don't have someone sitting across the table from us or in the chair next to us, then find a way to write it over email or to blog about it, or to be able to send some tweets and texts about our loved ones and to still tell our story that way. It's to say, as the world is changing in so many ways and has changed just over these last couple of weeks, I think we need to change the way we deal with these death and grief, all these end of life issues, and say it's time to start addressing them and dealing with them. It's time to stop being so afraid of this taboo subject and say, no, we can't deal with it, to say, let's talk about this openly. And even to do what your mom did, what your dad did, to be able to say, you know what, let's address these issues head on as a family. Okay, let's address what our wishes are. Let's address our feelings. Let's be real and open about this. We can't just hide it, shove it under the rug anymore. We've done that long enough. Now's the time to face this issue head on.
Yeah, and we can't we there are things sorry there are things that we can do now that will stop us grieving the extra layer that is we can't do what we normally would expect to be able to do. Because we don't
Yeah.
need that one on top, do we?
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to stop the grieving for sure. That's always going to happen,
Yeah.
right? But it's nice if a lot of those plans are made ahead of time.
Yeah.
If we know what our loved ones' wishes are, it makes it so much easier. Oh, sorry. Another call coming in at the same time. But so important that we address that, and it can be a great help to our families if we talk about these issues. And even just to talk, you know, not just about the physical planning issues, but just to share our hearts with our loved ones is really key too. To be able to say, I love you to the ones who we really do love. To be able to say, thank you, and I forgive you, and please forgive me. To be able to express those connections. You know, I never have anyone who says later, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said so much to my loved one.
Yeah.
What I hear all the time is, I wish I would have said. I wish I would have talked about. But we were so afraid to address the fact that they were dying or that someday we might die that we don't say it. So now that death is such a reality for so many people and we're reminded of it daily, now's the time to say, I need to say that those things that are really important to my loved ones. I need to be real about using communication in ways to express the reality of what I feel.
Wow, and those are all rituals, aren't they?
They are rituals. Mm. You're right. Yeah, so you had asked earlier and never answered that question of what are the rituals we can do. They're some of the best ones right there. It doesn't have to be a formal funeral service, although I think they're very helpful because that's part of our mourning is to have that public gathering. But when we can't do that, we can still, even before our loved ones die, is to be able to share our hearts, to be able to share those things that are important, to be able to tell our stories, to be able to give thanks for the difference that loved ones have made in our lives. We do it after they die. It's time to do it before. My mother turned 90 3 weeks ago, had a party for her before the social distancing took place. We just made it, but had a party of about 100 people who came. And I shared with them ahead of time that there was going to be an opportunity to share memories. And when I stood up at the dinner, I said, you know, I have an amazing mom. And, you know, and I know many of you feel that she's amazing as well. Well, one of my jobs is to conduct a lot of funeral services. And at many of the funeral services that I conduct, there is a time of sharing memories of mm-hmm. the loved ones. And every time I listen to that, and that's wonderful. That's a great way to help tell our story in grief. But I always think, why are we waiting till now to share it after our loved one is gone?
Mm.
And so I shared that with the 100 people who were gathered for my mom's birthday and said, so I'm not waiting until we're gathered for my mom's funeral. Now at her 90th birthday is a perfect time to be able to share those memories and to share the difference that mom has made in your life. And so we had a wonderful time of sharing, a time of laughing, a time of crying, a time of expressing, and mom got to sit and listen
wow.
and hear all the things that people had shared with her. So that's a ritual
mm.
that we had.
That's beautiful. Yeah. A friend of mine died about 15 months ago, and she's a work friend, and I didn't know her husband. And I realized that what I wanted to do more than anything else, and this is probably from meeting you, Don, was to say to her what I would have said to him. And I was able to send a card with everything in it that I would have told him, but she needed to hear it and I needed to say it to her.
Yeah.
So that was a very beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful for you not being taboo about this stuff.
No. So all those who are listening to this podcast, to say now's the time. And it doesn't have to be in a gathering of 100 people. It can be just you and your loved one.
Mm.
And to be able to say, this is the reality. This is the difference you make in my life. And I want you to know it. Yeah. One of the most beautiful rituals we could have is simply to share our hearts with one another.
Mm. Thank you. And thank you for giving us such a beautiful example of what that might look like. So is there anything else that you think is useful for us to be thinking about at the moment, Don?
I think we hit the important things. Just don't be taboo. Don't treat it as a taboo subject. You know, face, and it's scary sometimes. I get that. But the reality is, even though it's scary, it still needs to be done. And don't let the fear keep you from doing what is most important, because the regret of not doing it is far worse than the fear of doing it.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. And people can get your book, Coach Yourself Through Grief by Don Eisenhower. That's available in the US and in the UK, isn't it, from Amazon?
It is.
And how can people contact you if coaches want to learn more about working in this way?
Yeah, offer a number of trainings. They offer a full ACTP and accredited coach training program for the International Coach Federation. 142 hours of training to train people to be life coaches, as well as grief and end of life coaches, as well as for those who are already coaches, we offer a coach training for experienced coaches, where it's just adding the end of life piece onto the coach training that you already have, okay? As well as a lot of smaller trainings just to equip people to do better of facing these end of life issues. That can all be found on my website. The website is coaching@endoflife.com.
Brilliant. Thank you, Don. And the other book that I know anyone in England who's read this book is going to go, and why haven't you recommended? So Atul Gawande, Being Mortal, is also an amazing book to read about being honest and open about dying.
I agree. It is.
So, Don Eisenhower, Master Certified Coach, thank you for talking to me this afternoon. I'm Claire Pedrick, and I'm also an MCC. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we do wish you well on your journey through the next few weeks and months. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Coaching Inn. Find out more about us at www.3dcoaching.com/b-developed.